From time to time, I'm invited to speak in area religious schools, and the most unique invitation I got came a couple years ago when I was invited to speak to a class in an evangelical high school. The class was learning how to spread their faith. And so I appreciate that my minister friend who invited me to speak was pretty straightforward, and the reason I was there, which was to be a foil for his students. He was hoping that I would help them sharpen their skills in converting non-believers such as myself. So I accepted the invitation because it sounded interesting and because I knew in my own way I would be witnessing for my faith. I have to say it was a fascinating experience, beginning with a conversation I had as I walked into the room before the class. There was a parent there to sit in on the class, and as we talked, he shared that he had been raised Unitarian Universalist and clearly had traveled a ways in his own faith journey and was there because he was curious about what I would share. And also, it turned out he had some unfinished business with his UU upbringing. He shared that he had been in a UU youth group, and he was about my age, so this was in the 1970s. And I winced a little bit as he started to share because I had a feeling I knew where this was headed, and sure enough, I was right. He was in one of many youth groups in which there really were no boundaries, where the motto was anything goes in terms of sex, drugs, alcohol, things like that. And he shared with me how damaging that was for him in his upbringing. There was nothing I could say except, I'm so sorry that happened to you. It should not have happened. And I owned that his experience was all too common among UUs of his vintage. I shared with him that I think we're doing better today, but that I know that doesn't make up for things that happened to him. Well, the class began, and the teacher invited the students to share the good news of their faith, and so they did, and to each one I would say, how do you know this is true? And they would inevitably reply with verses from the Bible. Either they'd page through and find a verse, or many of them had carefully filed away certain verses and were able to access those. And to each one I shared that while I really appreciate the Bible, there are stories in it that I find very, very meaningful, the Bible is not my primary source for my beliefs. To put it simply, I don't believe what I believe because the Bible tells me so. Well, our conversation went round and round and round, and like a merry-go-round, did not go anywhere. The teacher frequently interjected the observation that, hey guys, this conversation's going nowhere. He challenged his students to share from some other basis besides the Bible, something that maybe I could relate to, and they were utterly unable to do so. The conversation just never went anywhere. So an hour later, as I'm walking out of the school, I'm thinking to myself about a lot of things. I'm thinking about the colossal failure of Unitarian Universalist youth ministry in the 60s and 70s that inflicted damage on the person I talked to, and I know a lot of others as well. I thought to myself, maybe that parent would have ended up elsewhere anyway, but I wonder, maybe not. And I thought about how, in addition to damaging people, we really did the opposite of trying to convert other people. We actually drove away our own people. And to me, I value the potential of our faith enough to think that that was a real shame. As I walked out, I was also thinking about this conversation with the students and how, we really had focused on the wrong question. We had focused on the question of, what do you believe? What do I believe? What do they believe? But a better first question would have been, how do you know what you believe? Other ways to put this are, what do you base your faith on? What are the sources of your beliefs? Or in more theological language, where do you derive authority for your beliefs? As long as that type of fundamental question went unanswered, our conversation was doomed to go round and round and round and not go anywhere. Well, this past Wednesday evening, I spent the evening with our coming-of-age youth and their mentors. These are high school-age youth in our congregation who are in a 9-month program helping them go deeper in their own spiritual journey as adolescents. And so the question that we were pondering the other night was, how do you know what you believe? So I began by asking them to generate ideas of how people in general figure out what they believe. And I tell you, it was amazing. I wrote so quickly, I could hardly keep up. Within a couple minutes, they had generated 37 ideas. And if you're interested in the list, it is available on our website in the Wellspring Wednesday section. And I want to share just a few of the ones that they came up with today that struck me as particularly poignant. So, how do people know what they believe? Here are some of their answers. Parents, which was their first answer. I think that's interesting. Although they kind of paired that with rebellion, which has something to do with parents, but in a completely different way. Cultural background. Peers. Pop culture was one of their answers. Science, nature, books, the arts, mentors and teachers, coercion. What you need in order to get through something, like the death of a loved one, can help shape your beliefs. Personal experience, intuition, and vision quests, meditation, spiritual practices such as those. Well, this is the big question that I invite all of us to ponder during this month of December. The question, how do you know what you believe? It's a great place to start if you're in the process of trying to figure out your beliefs. It's also a great place to spend some time if you kind of already have a sense of what your beliefs are. I think if you think about where they come from, it'll help you go deeper in your understanding of your beliefs. And it's the perfect big question to ask before we get into January and February's big questions about God, the soul, and the afterlife. So to help you think through your own answer to this question, how do you know what you believe, I'm going to share my answer with you today. And I do so in the faith that this, you all understand, this is not prescriptive on my part. I'm not telling you how you should answer this. In the Unitarian Universalist faith, we do not have a creed. We also don't have a common answer to this question of how do we know what we believe. In fact, I have a hunch that we wouldn't give two identical answers in this whole room of Unitarian Universalists. So, how do I know what I believe? Well, with a little bit of grouping, I managed to come up with a list of my top 6 ways I know how what I believe. And I could do more, but these are the most important, and I'm going to begin with the most important ones in this top 6 list. Number 1 on my list is me. My mind, my feelings, my intuition, my soul. And in saying this, I place myself squarely in the tradition of our transcendentalist pioneers, those forerunners in our faith who expanded the understanding of the source of Unitarian Universalism and other liberal faiths from beyond the Bible to include other things, including intuition and mind. So how do I know what I believe? Well, I've thought about it. I've felt about it. I've gotten in touch with my inner wisdom. And these answers I find within have authority for me. Our human minds, our human intuition is such a gift nearby that we can use in developing our own beliefs. It'd be a waste to me not to utilize them. But, of course, me is not enough. Me, my mind, my intuition, they're not perfect. I come up with wrong answers. I'm a fallible human being. I make mistakes. I know I cannot see the whole great big picture. I'm not on my own God. So sometimes my inner experiences, my inner resources are flat out wrong. And other times maybe they're just a little off, but they lead me down the wrong path. And so to me, it would be hubris, it would be idolatry to rely solely on myself in the formation of my beliefs. So this realization leads me to the other sources of my beliefs. Second on my list is continuous testing of my beliefs through the way I live my life. Each new experience offers a new opportunity to test and to challenge my beliefs. One way I test them is to pay attention to the way I behave. If I'm behaving in a way that is not ethical, chances are good that part of the problem is my beliefs are not sufficient. That I need to look at that. Why am I living in a way that is not good? It says something perhaps about my beliefs. I also believe that new experiences test my beliefs. For example, aging. Being able to test my beliefs now with the experiences of a middle-aged person is really a great gift. And sometimes I find that beliefs I developed as an adolescent, as a young adult, are still sufficient in my view, but other times I found, you know, they're really not. Middle age, my experiences as a middle-aged person have helped me figure that out. I'm hoping to live long enough to be an elder, and I trust that same kind of thing will continue to happen in that phase of my life. And it shouldn't be surprising that new experiences change us. The nature of life is change. I had heard the idea that our cells, that the cells that make up our body are not all that old, and so I looked up on the internet and discovered that most of the cells in our human body are less than 10 years old. In some very literal sense, the person up here who shared 10 years ago is not the same person as me today. So what a waste it would be to ignore those changes, that growth, and to come to a set conclusion on my beliefs at some point in my life and lock them away in a box. That doesn't make any sense. So how do I know what I believe? I continue to test my beliefs with the new experiences of life. But of course, this testing is also fallible. Sometimes I look at my experiences and I come to the wrong conclusion about them. I misread them. I fail to understand their complexity. So I need number three on my list, which is spiritual community. You help me know what I believe. I hope I help you. We help each other. That's why in this community we lift up the importance of teaching, of being a mentor to one another. It's why we pervasively encourage deep conversation in our services, in our Wellspring classes, in youth group, in religious education, in our small groups. This all makes sense to me. As I stand up here, I have no doubt that the collective wisdom you all have is far superior to the wisdom I have. And so I learn from you. I don't want to simply tend my faith in solitude. Yes, for me, engaging in personal reflection and spiritual practice, walking alone in the woods, taking a long run, contemplating a movie or a poem in solitude, those things help me, but they're not enough. To know what I believe, I need you to encourage me, to push me, to challenge me. We need each other. It's a big reason I think we come to the fellowship week after week after week. But community is fallible. Spiritual community. I think of all the churches in Nazi Germany that came to the wrong conclusion about what was going on there in support of the Nazis. Less dramatically, I think about our many Unitarian Universalist congregations in the 60s and 70s that came to the faulty conclusion that offering no boundaries to youth was a good idea. So, informing my beliefs, I want to look beyond myself, beyond my spiritual community, to something greater. So I look to traditions, religious traditions, and spiritual people. In particular, for me, I look to the wisdom of the UU tradition as it's evolved over these past 2,000 years. And I look to the wisdom of individual Unitarian Universalists like Michael Servetus, David Ferens, Olympia Brown, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Forrest Church, Rebecca Parker, to name a few, over a long period of time. I look back at the accumulated wisdom of the centuries within Unitarian Universalism, and that's one of the sources of my faith. When we light the chalice each service, to me, it's a reminder of the richness of this heritage that we have. But I also want to look beyond Unitarian Universalism to other religious traditions and other spiritual people, writers, thinkers. So to name a few of the most important of this large category on my list, I would name Hinduism, Mary Oliver, Joseph Campbell, the Buddha, Martin Luther King Jr., Judaism, Diana Eck, who writes about pluralism at Harvard, Native American spirituality, Bible stories about Jesus, and Mahatma Gandhi. But that's not enough. I want to look beyond that, too, to poetry, to novels, to history, to theology, to movies, to music. All of these, for me, help me figure out what I believe. Next on my list of sources would be the old Trivial Pursuits game category of science and nature. For me, science, I don't think will ever explain everything, but I sure don't want to have beliefs that fly in the face of what we understand scientifically. For me, science adds a whole lot to my understanding of the world and how I make sense of things, what I believe. This fact about us having cells that are mostly less than 10 years old, that helps me make sense of who I am and the nature of change within the human lifespan. I also find nature to be a really powerful place to be. My most powerful experiences of getting in touch with my inner wisdom, with the movements of my life, the questions I'm living, the most powerful place for me to do that is in nature. Last and quickly, the sixth principal source for my spirituality, my beliefs, is my spiritual practice. The time I spend in meditation and in prayer is a powerful way that I figure out my beliefs. And in a way, I could put this in the testing category, but it's so important I want to lift it up as a separate one. So these are my six main sources of my beliefs. Me, my experiences, my spiritual community, the wisdom of religious traditions and individuals, science and nature, and my spiritual practice. And I need all these ways. None of them are sufficient on their own. I need them all. And even then, I have to admit, I may come to a shallow or incorrect or wrong belief. That's why I choose not to attack or kill other people in the name of my beliefs. It's why I choose never to close the book on my beliefs. Never, ever, to consider my beliefs settled. So the question I have for you today, how do you know what you believe?